So this morning, we're going to start a new series called The 2020 Journey. And as you can see behind me up on the board. And last Sunday, if you missed last Sunday, I want to encourage you, please go online and listen to the vision that was placed before you for us as a church going forward. All the elders got to speak, and I thought it was a great Sunday. So I suggest you do that. I really also felt while preparing this, this is also a year for the Caleb generation. Now, I know everyone, when they think of Caleb, they think of all the old guys. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when Caleb stood up and he said, "Give me this hill country." And that's a little bit of an attitude we got to have this year for all of us. Give me my hill country. What is your hill country? And I think we should be asking big asks of God this year for your hill country, whatever that means to you. We're encouraged again to step out of the boat, take a risk, take a leap from a state of convenience. Sometimes it's going to be inconvenient. Sometimes it's going to take you a little bit out of your comfort zone. Sometimes it's going to stretch your capacity a little bit. But do you know that you will never grow in your capacity, never grow in your understanding, unless that capacity is stretched a little bit? So we want to step in. Okay, let me ask this question, put it this way. Who wants to step into the bigger things of God for their lives? I feel that there's much more that God has for us in this prophetic year of clearer vision and declaration. And so we want to take a risk this year and walk on the wild side on the 2020 journey. A year of seeing, and we declared it last week, a year of seeing what we declare. Means we have to be vocal. We have to declare stuff. We can't just hope somebody will say it for me. Because you can hope in a long time and nothing will happen. But if we are bold enough, step out the boat, take the bull by the horns, as it were, in the old expression. A year of declaring the impossible over the possible. A year of declaring the supernatural over the natural. A year of victory and overcoming. Am I speaking to the right people?
Yes.
Okay. A year of stepping out into His season for us and leaving footprints in the sands of impossibility. You want to create some footprints for yourself in the sands of impossibility? This is a year for you. So this morning I want to preach on taking the first step, or take the first step. And here's another question for, I know there's going to be a lot of interaction this morning. Aren't you tired of playing it safe? Aren't you tired of the status quo? Aren't you tired of, well, I don't know what to do next? Well, then today's for you. Sometimes our vision is so clouded that the road ahead is a little bit unclear. We know, you might know where you are right now. However, there is more to come, and there's more to be, and there's more to do in God for our lives. There's always the next mountain. There's always the next road to take. There's always the next valley to cross, the next river to swim. And we're going to be adventurous and take this all with us on this 2020 journey. People are always looking for the next best thing. The young adults, what is the latest brand clothing that I can wear? You know, some don't want to wear the old stuff anymore. We want a new brand, the new next. Well, what's the next? I'm sorry, I'm wired a little bit this way. What's the latest iPad or iPhone or the next techie, geeky thing? But we want to know what's next. Don't you want to know what's next in your next step? Don't you want to know how to handle, where's Vincent? You know, how do we raise one child? Well, how do we raise two children now? How do we raise three children? How do I deal with my new wife and my new husband? How do I deal with my new area and my new neighborhood that I just walked into? How do we deal? How do we live this? Where's Trevor? How do I handle my new job that I just got? How am I going to fit into that? We're always looking for the next step. We're looking for whatever's going. How do I plan to go from here to there? Because we want to know, taking the first step, what is the next step we have to take? Here's a reality check for all of us. No matter where you are on this life journey, whether you're saved, whether you're unsaved, whether you're atheist or agnostic, it makes no difference. There's two factors that you have to learn to live with. Number one, we're all created in God's image. Number two, God has placed eternity in our hearts. Everything that we do going forward is because we are created to worship Him and to find out more and to do stuff. And some of you might not even admit or want to admit that we are created to worship, or even admit that you're created in Him. It doesn't mean that it's not snowing outside. It is. You know, well, no, it's not snowing. I'll tell you a little lesson I learned when we first came to Canada. That in the middle of winter, when the sky is blue and that blazing yellow ball is in the sky, it means nothing. We were privileged to stay with Alan and Paddy our first 2 months when we came to Canada. You know, and you see the movies where the guy's driving, they've got a little singlet, and the snow's this deep, and the horse's in. No one told you it's fake snow. Because they don't have gloves, they don't have scarves, they have big, there's a little singlet, you know, leather buckskin singlet. So I thought, I'm from South Africa, I'm tough. Paddy says, don't do this. What do you know? Pair of shorts and a t-shirt. Minus 10, snow was this deep, and I walked out into the snow. No shoes. No shoes, barefoot. And then we counted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, I was back inside, and she's standing going. And I said, she said, do not put hot water on you. Do not put hot water on you. I said, Bridget, rub my legs, rub my legs. Oh, yeah. Reality check. It's cold. Anyway, we learn our lessons as we go. The point is, we're all on a journey. Some are on a go slow on this journey, you know, like that old on the donkey. Those spaghetti westerns, one of those. Others are on like on the bullet train, going full ball on this journey. Yeah, but all of it, we have this inbuilt homing device to seek God and to know God, not just to know about Him, but to know Him. And sometimes God is a rock on a mantelpiece, you know, or a crystal from the roof, you know, whatever. But we're looking for God. And some people find God in the strangest of places. I mean, not the real God, but looking for a God. And we can search throughout all of Scripture and we'll always see that God's plan was always to take His people from here to there. From slavery to liberty. From spiritual and physical slavery into physical and spiritual liberty. But to do this, we all need vision. We got to have hope. I read a story about a dog track. You know the dog track, if you've ever been, I've been to one many years ago. If you own a dog, you know that dogs can get so focused. Sometimes you've got to tap Coco on the head and say, refocus, Coco. Arrest your brain. Dogs can become so focused, and they put these dogs in these little race traps, and they have this mechanical rabbit that takes off around the track. And then their dogs, and they're focused, and they put muzzles on so they don't stop and bite each other. And then the thing opens, and these dogs come bolting out. And they chase this rabbit. They are so focused, that's all they can see is this rabbit. Once upon a time, in a faraway land, this rabbit, halfway through the course, exploded. And there was this fake fur and springs and mechanics like all over. You know, some of the dogs, they just kept running. They're chasing, but they don't know what they're chasing now. They're just running. And they're going. Some of them were like, whoa, what happened here? And they hit a left and they ran into the fences and they hurt themselves and cracked a few ribs. And some of them were like, what? And they saw all the people shouting. They just sat down and started to bark at the people, going, whoop, whoop, whoop. And I thought, that's such a beautiful picture of mankind. If we don't have vision, man, sometimes we're just running. We don't know why. Where are you going? I don't know. There's no rabbit. There's nothing that we're focused on. There's nothing we're following. We don't have any vision. And we're just going. And when this thing explodes in your faces, you're just like, okay, we'll just go over here. And then you hurt yourself and you damage yourself. And you damage those around you. And then, of course, some people just like sit down now. We go, oh, well. You know, some of the dogs took a nap and some people just sit down and they start to moan and complain about everything. It's too cold outside. It's too hot outside. I wish it was warmer. I wish it was colder. I wish the sky was bluer. I wish the music wasn't so loud. I wish this, this, I wish that. Start moaning, we bounce down. The point is we have to find a focus, something in our lives to focus on. Number one, that's Jesus. Take God's mission in life and make that your focus. God puts it this way. And I've given you three different versions this morning. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. King James says, where there's no vision, the people perish. That's like short and sweet. The message, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Now, often we forget to understand that that word blessed means we are joyous. I think Kevin used it in the song, we are joyous, we are full of joy, unspeakable. No prophetic vision. There's no clarity of future or journey is needed. We are so incomplete. We don't know where we are. We don't know how to go there. We don't know how to get there. And the alternative is just to perish and fade away. You know, to end up sit down and take a nap and moan and complain. Blessed is he who keeps the law. Obedience brings joy even when there's chaos around me. Some of you are living in chaos at the moment. Not by your own doing. Sometimes the circumstances come. We've got to find that spark of joy. Blessed is he keeps the law. We need a vision for the journey. The 2020 journey, you know, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. So does the devil. And so do I, actually. Because some of you need some purpose and vision. Tired of 2017, 2018, 2019. Come on, this is 2020. Psalm 16:11. This is how the Lord puts it. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Man, don't you want to be on God's path? Don't you want to be on his journey? I'm tired of trying to make this happen myself. Lord, will you make it happen for me? I want to follow your plans. We are privileged that he wants to partner with us, that he sets the boundaries for us. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Not in my way, in the Lord's way. 1 Peter 2:21, for to this you have been called because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. The journey is planned out for us. I think Bridget said this morning, the young Jeremiah, I knew you and I had plans for you before I even placed you in your mother's womb. And again, it just got me to thinking, this two living organisms, sperm cells, come to, there's life already. And they say, no, there's no life there until X amount of months. No. There's life already. You know, the most asked question in Christianity today is, what is God's will for my life? Well, I'm going to tell you this morning, and you never walk away going, I don't know what he said. You know, as a pastor, I speak for the other pastors, the other elders, one of my biggest frustration is watching people with huge potential who settle less for less than what Jesus paid for. Let me say that again. Is watching people who have huge potential, and you all have huge potential, settling for less than what Jesus paid for. Some have settled, some have become settlers, and you've just, for this mundane life, day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, year out, maintenance mode of life. That's not what we are called to be. Scripturally, if you've been in this church a little while, and if you're only here for a short time, let me help you. We are an apostolic, prophetic people, scripturally, biblically based, not because we think it's a good idea. We are meant to be pioneering people, pioneering the work of the Lord, the mission that he gave us. We should be grabbing hands, life with both hands and our feet, and just sucking the life out of things for the King and His kingdom. Amen? That was the point of the whole Abundant Life series that we took so much pain to preach and to teach on. Jesus came that we might have abundant life, not mundane, monotonous. I'm so bored with life. Don't blame your pastor. Don't blame your wife. Don't blame your husband. Don't blame your mom. Don't blame your father, your kids. Go and stand in front of a mirror and go, Lord, help me today. What does this 2020 journey look like? I'm glad you asked. Now, I had a conversation with the guys yesterday at Alpha, and we were talking about left brain and right brain people. So this picture now, that's one for the left brain people. And so this is what the journey looks like. And now let's have a look, one for the right brain people. Here we go. Over the next couple of weeks, we can look at know God, find freedom, choose joy, discover purpose, make a difference. But just so you know, we're going to do it backwards. That's for the super left brain people. Number one, know God. At some level, in some way, we all want to know God. We all want to know Him. We might very well differ about that and what God looks like, but we realize the truth that I said first in the beginning. We are all created in the image of God, and God has placed eternity in our man's heart. We will come to an understanding, no matter what, that we cannot get away from this, that we deep-seatedly inside of us, we actually want to know God. You know, Scripture even talks about they were so zealous, but their zeal was misguided, and we want to help guide the zeal. And coming off our last series on talking about the foundation and doctrines of Christ, church and Jesus and the Father are not religion. It's not about religion. It's about a personal relationship with Him, that we develop a relationship, a one-on-one with Jesus. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When we find that, and we've seen that in our lives, personal testimony, when we seek the kingdom first, He's working when we don't even know that He's working. And things happen and we go, wow, how'd that happen? We don't know. Because we want to be kingdom people. 1 Timothy 6:21, the Living Bible. Some of these people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. I encourage you this year, learn to know God, find more about. The second thing, find freedom. On this 2020 journey, we want to find freedom. Freedom from your past, freedom from your sin, freedom from your shame, freedom from any guilt you might carry around with you. Any hurts or secret offenses you might have, any habits or addictions, we want to find freedom from that. Let me ask you a question right now. If I said to you, is there anything right now that you acknowledge, if I got rid of this thing now, I will find freedom? Don't put your hand up. Think about it and go, well, yeah, if I got rid of that thing, I will find true freedom in Christ Jesus. People look for release in very different places, and some might need some therapy and some might need medication, but the freedom I'm talking about is found in John 8:36. If the Son makes you free, I like that version so much better than sets you free, makes you free, you will be free indeed. When I'm made free, it means that I had nothing to do with it. It means that if I'm set free, then I actually can go back and do that again. But if I'm made free, I had nothing to do with it. It was because of His work on the cross, the finished work of the cross, that He made me free, that I can stand and sing today with gusto. Last week it was terrible. With gusto of the freedom that we enjoy. We need Jesus in our lives, the freedom that He brings. This is not just good preaching, but this is truth for you. Number three, we want to choose joy. We can't take this journey if we are unhappy about it. We want to take it in fullness of joy. We want to live in the fullness of joy and delight in what God wants. Don't you want to be like kids going to Toys R Us? Or what's that, the Bulk Barn in the candy section? I know, I shouldn't say that in front of children. But you can go in there and you can get your little trowel, your spade, and your bag, and it's It's going into Toys R Us and saying you've got $1,000 or you've got half an hour. Go mad. That is what we want. We want to go into God or us and get into His store. And He's going, go for it. Be happy. God has a plan that He will work out. The journey might, as you see, have a few twists and turns along the way. But Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. That is, it could just stop there, but then he wants to reiterate the point. I will say it again. Rejoice. We want to rejoice in everything, every situation. Number four, discover purpose. In 2020, some of you are still searching for purpose. But this 2020 life journey has a process. And we want to know God, find freedom, choose. And you can't do one until you've done the previous one. You can't find freedom until you know God. You can't choose joy until you've found freedom. And you can't discover purpose until you've done the others. I know I'm being a little bit Irish, I'm going to do it backwards, but that's okay. We need to recalibrate our filters this year. We want to be able to, some of you can't, at the moment, you can't even see tomorrow. Your filters are so scratched, so dumbed down, that I can't. We need to recalibrate the lenses. You can't see yesterday either, but you can't see today, and tomorrow is not even in view. And I want to say to us, let's discover purpose together as we move forward. Galatians 6:4. This is reading the message again. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. There you go. That's helped you. The message is very clear on how we find purpose. Who am I in Christ Jesus? Find God. What has God called me to? How has He gifted me? How can I make this a joy? How can I get involved in making other people's lives a joy? How, when I come to, I know in Corinthians, it talks about when we come together as a body, we serve one another. And I said to somebody the other day, it's a parallelism. We have to understand that it actually really means when we come together, it's about me serving you, not you serving me. But the church worldwide has taught us that when I come to church, I get to be served. Amen, Mark. Yeah, I know, because it means, there's an expectation I have to do something. That's why a lot of people don't like New Testament preaching. Because it means I can just come in and just go out, and I can just come in and go out. And I promise you, when you behave like that, 2017 is like 2018, and 2018 is like 2019, and 2020, and so on and so on. It's when we come together and bring our gift to the table. When we follow the process, we are able to follow through and do what we have been created to do. And when we find what we have been created to do, joy comes on its own. Because it's not a hard task. Amen? If we said to Kevin, I heard him, he thinks I didn't hear him, 2020 he's going to play a guitar. He's said that for how many years now? I heard him, and so I'm calling him out in front of everybody. But if right now we stuck a guitar in his hand and said, Kev, lead us in worship, he's like, are you kidding me? It's not possible. I'm not gifted that way. But he can. And so when he learns to play the guitar and he stands up here, don't all go, wow. Just go, yeah, there we go. Of course, it's supposed to be like that. Number five, make a difference. The ultimate goal in our lives is for us to make a difference. Come on, let's just be honest. Do you want to make a difference in this world? Do you want to make a difference in your family? Do you want to make a difference in your workplace, in your school place, in university? Do you want to make a difference in your neighborhood? Do you want to make a difference when you get out and go into the shopping mall? Yeah, then come to Alpha. John 15:58. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. True disciples not only just bear fruit, they bear much fruit. If you've never won or prayed for someone, because Jesus does the work, Holy Spirit does the work. If you've never prayed for someone to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, don't put up your hand. Wouldn't you like this to be your first year? That the joy of leading someone to the Lord. Because most Christians go, I don't know how to do that. We go, what? I know, because I said that. I don't know how to lead someone to the Lord. No, you do. It's brain stuck. Unstuck the brain. We're going to make a difference as disciples of Christ. Christ's joy in us, the joy that he places in us. It's not like we've got to, oh, okay, I've got to drum up some joy now. No, no, no. It's the joy that Christ places in us will be fulfilled, will come to fruition. The life that we've been created to be, the one to know God, to find freedom, to choose joy, to have a divine purpose, to make a difference. Not just making a difference for now's sake, but for eternity's sake. Think of that one. When we make a difference, we make it for eternity. We want to fill that empty void in our lives. We've already asked, what is my purpose? Jesus, just before he went to the was betrayed, we sat around with these disciples, talking to the guys, speaking to his father, knowing he is about to go to the cross from the message. John 17, 18, in the same way that you gave me a mission, Father, in the world, I have given them a mission in the world. That's your purpose. That's our purpose. We are on mission. We've said it before, the church doesn't exist for mission. Mission exists for the church. When we see God and we step into it, he's saying to the Father, I'm handing my mission over to these guys around me and to the larger world. I'm handing over my mission. We exist for mission. And that's why to Alpha, is a wonderful tool. Yeah, well, I don't need Alpha. Well, you don't, but your friend might need Alpha. Sign up and bring them. And some of you do need Alpha, actually. It's good basic foundation understanding. Who is Jesus, etc., etc. It'll give you a deeper understanding. We're looking for people outside the church. We're looking for unsaved people to come. But some of us here should actually sign up. And as we've said, we're not doing connect groups. Make Alpha your connect group. Come and enjoy it. Be part of it. The sad thing is that in North America, there's been a subtle gravitational pull away from anything else, and I've heard other pastors say this, we just want to do stuff in our church that's fun. My immediate thought was, I'm sorry for the lost in your city. I'm sorry for the lost in your neighborhood. I'm sorry for the lost in your family. Because we just want to do what's fun. Joy is part of the gospel. That's not the thing. We're on a mission. It's not, let me just say this, let's be clear. This is not why we exist here. This is not why the bridge exists here. It has, having fun has nothing to do with the Great Commission. Well, you're just a joy kill, Mark. No. Listen, we have an assignment from God. We are on mission. Church growth, church expansion, extend the kingdom are all part of our mandate and our e-grace value. But we can never allow ourselves to lose sight of why we are here. How's this thought? If this church, if the bridge closed down in our community, would we be missed? There's a big empty parking lot there now. No. I'd like to believe we would be missed, that people would be going, wow, what happened to that church? There was like, they were impactive. Because the question is, do you want to be in charge of something or do you want to have influence over something? Yeah, absolutely. We don't need to be in charge of anything. We want to have influence. Acts 20:24. If only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. This is Paul calling the elders in Miletus to their first equip time, the first conference that they had, and he's encouraging them. But this is, but it's for you pastors to do. No. Do you know how many people come to know the Lord? In percentage-wise, 86% by one-on-one personal invitation. Preaching in the pulpit, between 2 and 6%. That's got to tell you something. 86% of people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and get involved in the church because someone invited them. Someone shared their life with them. Someone shared their testimony with them. You think it's just for the pastors? Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's your purpose. We are all included in his mission because we are his workmanship. Jesus, after his death and resurrection and having visited and seen many people and spoken to them and cooked fish for his boys on the beach and done everything, as he was lifting, if you could work with me on this one, allowed my left brain to function. As he was lifting up, as he was lifting up on the Mount of Transfiguration and Ascension, well, boys, by the way, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And he was gone. And they were like, what just took place here, man? Jerusalem, those that are closest to you. Judea and Samaria, those that are close but different. Maybe a different culture, a different lifestyle, different way of understanding things. Man, they just do things differently. Yeah. The Judeans and Samaritans were not Jews. They weren't even liked by the Jews. But they said, go to them. Perhaps different cultures. In the ends of the earth, those that are far away. 3 points in closing. Journey number one, make a difference. I told you we're going to do this backwards. So here's the backward part. Make a difference in your world. Make a difference in your world. People in your oikos, those that you come into contact with, those that are closest to you, those that are first in your heart, those in your family, your friends, your neighbors. Not you better get it right or you get left. Some people like to tell people that. Turn or burn, buddy. No. With love and understanding. You actually really don't have to tell a drug addict that he's a drug addict. He knows. She knows. You don't have to tell an alcoholic they're an alcoholic. They know. You don't have to tell a sinner they're a sinner. They know. All we have to tell them is about the love and the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus heals a demon, a man with a demon or the demoniac. He says in Mark 5:19, and he says, I want to come with you. And he says, no, and he did not permit him to, but he said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. I don't know how to witness. Yeah, you've just been told how to do it. Tell your story. A witness, I know the witness, the Greek word is martos, and that's where we get the word martyr from. And so if you want to be a martyr for Jesus, become a witness for Jesus. Not the prosecutor, not the judge, not the defense counsel, the witness. Tell Jesus the good news. Tell your friends, your family, whoever, the good news. How he has changed. And of course, you need to live what you speak about. Jesus is good. Jesus loves me. I don't like you at all. No, that's not helpful. Tell your side of the story. Not the other side. You don't have to worry. You just stand up in the dock and you tell your story. This is what happened. This is how the first time we ever took some young people with us. When I talk about young people, I'm talking about 15 and 16-year-olds to the mission with us, to the bush, to go and preach. And we said, Kier said to me, he said, can any of them preach? I said, well, some of them can, yeah. He said, okay. So we had one young girl with us, Corinne. She was 4'9". So she didn't stand really tall. So when she looked up, the microphone was this big compared to her. And I said to her, Corinne, you're going to start preaching, and you've got 10 minutes to prepare. She said, well, what do I tell them? I said, tell them your testimony. She said, oh, okay, I can do that. And she stood up, gave her testimony, and we did an altar call, and 20 people got saved. Well, I thought it has to be a scripture, and go to 3 poems, and exegete it, and exegete it, and this jeet and that jeet. No, just tell your story. Number 2, we want to make a difference beyond my world. 1 Corinthians 9:22. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. Verse 23, I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in the blessings. What is this? This is just finding common ground. What does that mean? Finding common ground with people. And when you have found common ground with people, they are more than willing to listen to you. That's why we do connect groups the way we do. If you didn't twig into that thing or haven't made yourself available to a connect group, you're missing out on 30% of your mission, of what you're meant to be doing. You're missing out on connecting with your family here and telling your story and growing in the faith together. That's why we find common ground. Those who all like to, play guitar or want to learn to play guitar, so he gets all these people around. There aren't any drummers. There aren't any piano players. They're all guitar players because they want to learn to play the guitar. Common ground. Get to know people. Find out where they have a hurt or a pain and help them and minister to them and talk to them and love on them. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What does that mean? That actually means, if you take the Greek and understand, it means to stoop down and reach out. Those that are less fortunate than you or who need some help, because sharing is caring. You want to risk something? Go into your neighborhood and do a random act of kindness. Pay for somebody's groceries. Pray for them. See them limping, going, I see you limping. Have you got a sore leg? Yes. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a disciple of Christ. I want to bear much. You don't have to tell them all this, but I'd like to pray for you, please. Sure. And see what the Lord does. Make a difference in your world. Make a difference beyond your world. And number 3, make a difference in the whole world. Well, now you're asking too much, Mark. Oh, that's impossible for me. I can't go anywhere. Well, I've told the story before, I'm going to tell it again. A friend of mine in his church, they were doing a trip, and he said, because he had a lot of guys in the church who were wealthy, like our church. And, sorry? Declaring. I'm declaring it, yes. If you're not wealthy now, I'm declaring it over you. And there you go, you like that one. Okay. And so what he said, you guys who are hotshot businessmen who don't have time to take vacation and travel on this trip, put up your hands. He says, those of you who don't have money but have the time, you come stand in the front. So those people all came and stood in the front. He says, now you businessmen who put up your hands, man, woman, who put up your hands and said you don't have the time or the inclination to go, but you got the money to go, come and pay for some of these people. And there were like 30 people up the front, and every person got paid for to go on that trip. That's kingdom. That's your tithes and offerings. Those of you who do. I don't know who does and I don't know who doesn't. So just so we're all clear. Your tithes and offerings help us to support Kieran Kelly to travel and minister the gospel. We help plant churches by sending money to support people. because of your obedience. It's not so we can get fat. It's just, you know, and we want to pay salaries so that we can be more about the kingdom, the king and his kingdom. Mark 16:15, he said to them, come into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation. Wherever you go, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the parts of the world, that doesn't mean and this or this or this or that. It means wherever you go, whenever you go, do that. It's an all-inclusive thing. Go everywhere and proclaim, declare, speak out the gospel to all creation. Mark 10:29, Jesus said, last verse, mark my words, no one who sacrifices houses, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, land, whatever, whatever, because of me and the message will lose out. They'll get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land, but also in troubles, and then the bonus of eternal life. I love that scripture. And I just want to tell you, when we seek first the kingdom of God, when we place others above ourselves, when we say, Jesus, I want to make a difference in this world. Jesus, I want to make a difference beyond my world. I want to make a difference to the whole world. Jerusalem used to be Pinetown, South Africa, for Bridget and I. Judea and Samaria was Zimbabwe and Mozambique and Madagascar and parts of South Africa. Outer parts of the world was Canada. This is now Jerusalem. And we have our Judea and Samaria in the outer parts of the world. It's always constant. It's always changing. It's always moving. And when we, and this is not about Bridget and I, please. I want to just use it as a lesson. When we sold everything and gave away everything, gave away our furniture, gave away a car, gave away, because we're in business for so many years, Bridget loved antiques, so 90% of our house were antiques. Gave some away, sold some, gave them, arrived in Canada. Alan and Patty fetched us a week, next week, 15 years ago, with 6 suitcases. And we were like, oh, what have we done? No one who sacrifices houses, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, land, whatever, because of me and the message, will lose out. They'll get it all back, but multiplied. Many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land. Also in troubles. And then the bonus of eternal life. We still wait for eternal life. We have it in our, but we wait for the great time. I'll tell you that story just to challenge you. Don't think about what you have to give up or what is he saying I should give up? I don't know, talk to the Lord. If you don't tithe, that's where you could start. Give up your houses, give up land, give away stuff. I just feel prompted to tell you one more story. Wanting to make a difference in our world, in beyond our world, and the whole world, there was no greater joy when we came to the kingdom, because I had the mindset when I came to the kingdom, I work so hard for my money, I'm not giving it away to the church. What are they? And then I had a revelation of what that all meant and how the Lord would provide. Now, there's a scripture that says that you'll never be without, that you'll never be his seed begging bread. We have never, ever, since that day, been in that position. We've been in Canada. We've been in a place where we opened the fridge and there was nothing in the fridge. And we were like, okay, Lord, what are we going to do now? And a lady arrived at our house and she says, I have no idea why I did this, but I went to the shop today and I bought you a whole 24 chicken breasts. I don't know why I did that. I've never done it for anybody in my life. I'm probably never going to do it again. But the Lord told me to do it and gave it to us. So we had chicken for a week to eat. And that same weekend, Louise came down from Belleville to visit. She said, I was leaving Belleville and the Lord told me to go and buy you a month's groceries. And she arrived with a month's groceries for us. That's just the goodness of God. And most of you have been to our home. God provided that home miraculously. God has provided us mothers and brothers and sisters and family and cars and houses. Why? Because we seek the kingdom first. And this is just our story. There's all your stories too that go with it. But I want to challenge you this year. Make a difference. We used to have a pastor in South Africa. I thought he was completely off his rocker. He'd give cars away. I'd never heard of anybody in their right mind giving cars away. And he gave a car. And he'd come back the next day and he'd say, can I have a lift to churches? And I said, why? He said, I gave my car away. I said, dude, what are you doing? He said, I just felt the Lord tell me to give my car away. And the next week, hey, Tony, do you need a lift to church? He said, no, I've got a new car. I said, where'd you get it from? He says, I don't know, somebody just gave it to me. And it's better than the one I had. And I saw him around. And then the next thing, Mark, can I have a lift to church? I said, what happened? He says, I gave my car away. I said, are you nuts? She says, the Lord told me. So, okay. 2 weeks later, a better car. More the one he, and so it went on. I don't know how that works. But I do know that it works. Anyway, that was way off the topic today. But I just felt to download that. Let's all stand together. After I finish praying, there'll be a ministry team up front. And if you need prayer, please come. And Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God, and we thank you for your goodness towards us. Lord Jesus, we want to make a difference in our lives. And Father, we ask, Lord God, that you download your purpose and plan and strategy for each one of us individually and for us as a church, Lord. Lord, we don't want to be in charge of stuff. We want to be influencers for you, Lord. So God, we come to you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for safety on the roads. We thank you for the coffee culture today and time together and to fellowship. Jesus, we want you to be the focus. We want to be on mission with you, Lord. I declare over us as a body, Lord God, that your face shine upon us. Let your heart and your goodness and your favor be upon our lives and bless us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.